This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that.
They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You are listening to
Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
It's 99.9 KISW Metal Shop. I'm a little under the weather today, but I couldn't miss out on the chance with talking to Spencer Hazard. He is a guitarist for a band called Full of Hell from the East Coast, I believe, Maryland?
Yes.
Awesome. They just released a new album called Weeping Choir, their first album on Relapse Records. First off, congratulations, man. This is a huge thing for you guys. Must be a landmark time for the band.
Yeah, man. It's pretty surreal. And thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, you're very welcome, man. Like, your first album with Relapse Records, they're an institution in underground music. They put everything from Mastodon to Pig Destroyer to Agoraphobic Nosebleed. I mean, they really have cornered the market in extreme but also varied releases. How does it feel to be part of the Relapse family, dude?
It's awesome. I mean, Relapse is like one of the labels that like helped me get into extreme music as a kid, especially like I'm 30 now. So yeah. I remember when they had like the huge distro online and just going, like spending my summers, like working a minimum, like a summer job just so I can buy stuff off the distro.
Oh, absolutely. And those contaminated two-disc samplers would just give you a variety of insane bands.
No, yeah, definitely.
That's awesome, man. Well, again, congratulations. But tell us a little bit about the process of recording the new album, Weeping Choir. Like, who did you work with? How long did you guys take on it? And what was the process like?
It took us about a year to write.
Okay.
I was living in Philadelphia while Dylan has always lived in Pennsylvania, but the other two instrument players in the band, Dave the drummer and Sam the bass player, were in Ocean City, Maryland, my hometown. So it was difficult to write the album because I'm used to just like bringing riffs to practice and we're able to build off of them. But since I lived like 3 hours away from them, I would just be able to come down for practice like maybe once a month or once every 2 months.
Okay.
So it took a little bit to write it, but we recorded again with Kurt Ballou, who did our last record, Trumpeting Ecstasy,
yeah,
2 years ago. And this was the longest we've ever taken in the studio to record an LP, which was still only 6 days.
Well, you know, I mean, if you guys are generally work pretty fast, it seems like, or is it just like you just want to have the chaos come out in bursts? Or
I think we go in, we psych ourselves out before we go to the studio, like, oh man, I hope we're able to get this done in time. So we just practice and practice and practice until we get it as tight as humanly possible. So then in the studio, we're not wasting any time, like having to do take after take or not knowing the songs,
yeah,
et cetera, et cetera.
Well, fair enough, man. That's awesome that you work with Kurt Ballou. Obviously, he's a huge part of the metal scene these days. He plays in Converge, but also he produces and records so many bands. It's no wonder that it sounds so awesome.
Yeah.
You guys are celebrating, I believe, 10 years of being an active band, Full of Hell is. And give us a little bit of the origin story of Full of Hell. How did you guys meet? Did you guys meet within like the metal or hardcore scene, or how did that go?
Definitely the hardcore scene. I am the only original member of the first lineup.
Oh, okay.
Dave's second longest, where he played drums on the very first tour, which stupidly enough, we booked a tour only being a band for like 3 months kind of thing.
Nice.
Somehow I figured it out. He was only like 15 years old, and my friend told me, he goes like, oh, I know this kid, he's really good at drums, and but he's like really young. So I just messaged him on MySpace and was like, hey, do you want to go on tour? And he was like, I'm 15 and I've never been in a band before. And I was like, that's cool, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
So we basically just threw him into it, and we're like, taught him the ropes as we went along, because the rest of us in the band were just like at least experienced from touring in other bands. Still, we were pretty young. Like, I was like 19 when Full of Hell started, and like the original singer was like 18 and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we just figured it out as we went along. And then I just knew Dylan previously from playing in other bands and stuff. And once he found out the original singer quit, I like joined you guys, and we're like, yeah, sure, you live 6 hours away. And he was like, that's fine, I'll make it work. So
nice.
That's basically, and then it's just been a revolving door of bass players, but the solid members of basically me, Dylan, and Dave for the past 10 years.
So you said you had him in the band when he was 15, Dave. Tell me, did you guys have to sit down with his parents and just like convince them, hey, it'll be all right?
Yeah, just being like, his parents came over and met with my parents and everything, and my dad was just like, yeah, at least I had prior experience touring in other bands since I was like 18 and stuff. And his parents were just cool with it. I mean, he went to Europe the first time with us when he was 16 years old, and we basically had to write him a fake slip to get him out of school for a month.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, but it all worked out.
Man, that's like his high school was Full of Hell. Like, you guys have like raised this kid into being like a full-blown extreme metal musician. That's insane.
Yeah, I know. We kind of did a crappy job, whatever.
Well, it seems to have stuck. So let's go back a little bit further then. You know, we're talking about his early days. Let's go back to your early days. What's like the first extreme band, whether it be metal or punk or hardcore? What's the first time you ever got exposed to that? And tell me, what about it kept you around?
I feel like everybody my age demographic got into a lot of music because of like either being like seeing a Hot Topic when they were like 13 years old or
sure.
12 years old in middle school and stuff. And then MySpace, of course. But, like, all through middle school and stuff, I really liked early, like, 77 punk stuff, like the Ramones and Misfits and Dead Kennedys and stuff. And then gradually got into, like, Black Flag and, like, Sham 69, like, more, like, typical hardcore, oi type stuff. And then I started to get into, like, more metalcore in high school just because that's what was popular, especially, too, with Headbangers Ball on, like MTV2 when I was like 14 years old and stuff.
Shout out Jamie Josta for showing those videos.
Yeah, exactly. But MySpace really, like I said, for my age demographic really changed the game for discovering music because of MySpace. And then too, the Hellfest DVD, discovering bands like The Locust and Daughters, and then finding out about more grind bands like Drop Dead and Agoraphobic Nosebleed and stuff just through the internet. It changed me. So then by the time I was like, in like 11th grade, I was just like, all my friends are like listening to like scene music and stuff, but I was like checking out stuff on like Hide Your Head and Southern Lord, and they're like, why do you like that stuff? So
that's crazy, man. So it's just literally you just went to the more extreme, to the more extreme, to the more extreme. And shout out to the Hellfest DVDs, because I still have my my stack of Hellfest DVDs at my apartment.
Yeah, like seeing the Locust for the first time when I was like 15 or 16, I was like, this is so stupid, but like something it enamored me, and I was like, I couldn't stop thinking about it, and then for me, and changed the way I look at music.
So I got to ask you, because you guys use a lot of, I guess you would call it harsh noise elements in the band. And if anyone's listening now and they're like, what are you talking about, harsh noise? It's pretty much just when it sounds like the Brown Note or something on a Full of Hell record. It's just like really abrasive, extreme sounds. There's no way to really describe it other than just being very harsh, abrasive music. Just noise. So where's that influence coming from? Where's that influence coming from, dude?
Initially, because I was really into like Southern Lord records.
Yeah.
And it was like one of those things like people talk about, like you look in the liner notes and look up bands and previous members and previous members' bands. And looking at a Sun record, I discovered like they had done stuff with John Weiss, who is like a legendary noise musician who was in Bastard Noise at one point.
Yeah.
And then from there, I discovered like Man is the Bastard and the Endless Blockade. And then a really pivotal record was the last Insect Warfare record, which was just noise and drums.
Nice.
And that's what made me want to add noise to a band. But even from Sun, I learned about Merzbow, who we ended up collaborating with because he was on a couple of Sun records. So it's all like a third degree kind of thing.
Talk about full circle, man.
Meet people. Yeah, exactly.
That's insane, dude. So tell me a little bit about, I'm sure you guys have toured a lot, and you said you guys collaborated with Merzbow. What are just a couple of the most insane, you know, someone who's listening now, they might not be fully initiated into Full of Hell. They might never have seen you. Go see Full of Hell. It's a very intense, very abrasive experience. What are the most abrasive or insane sets that you have personally ever seen live from other bands?
Oh, that's a good question. I know, not necessarily abrasive or like insane set, but a couple years ago I saw Spectral Voice in Baltimore.
Oh, they're awesome.
There's only maybe like about 50 people there, and the show was running late, and it was them and Undergang.
Nice.
So I had to leave after Spectral Voice played, but it was the most perfect, like, tight band I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, even as being a musician for as long as I have, I was like, I cannot believe how good this band sounds right now. It was really inspiring to see like a group of guys in like my age demographic being like that tight of a band.
Hell yeah, dude. They're an amazing band, and I saw that tour too.
Yeah.
That's awesome, dude. Well,
I'm trying to think there's other sets, but it's like I'm around music so much all the time, it kind of blurs together sometimes.
No, it's hard to, when I put you on the spot like that too, I'm sure like in like an hour, there's going to be like 20 sets that come to mind and you're going to be like, damn it, I wish I was talking to him now.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's flip the script a little bit and pretend that you were the radio DJ. What are a few bands that you would make sure to play if you were a radio DJ, if you were in charge of press and play on the albums?
I think I had discovered this, not discovered, I heard about this band years ago when they got back together, Harvey Milk.
Yeah.
And I kind of pushed it aside up until this year, where I found one of their records in a dollar bin.
Okay.
At some record store in Delaware, and I listened to it, and it has legitimately changed my life this year and has become my absolute all-time favorite band ever.
Wow. You just did the deep dive.
Yeah, deep dive. I can honestly say a perfect band.
That's cool, man. What do you think about, so like, let's contrast back when we were kids and you were talking about looking at liner notes and you had to kind of deep dive within, like, you know, you would have to budget though, because you would probably have to buy a lot of CDs or records. Which do you prefer? Do you like that, or do you like the idea of now we can, there's so much music out there digitally. We can just, you could spend an hour on Spotify and you could become a freaking genius on like black metal if you wanted to, if you just spent like 2 days on it.
I honestly still prefer physical medium, and I prefer CDs because, like you said, there's so much music out there. When you look at it digitally, it's hard to concentrate on one thing because you're like, oh, this band is related to this band, I should check out this band. I feel like me personally, I can't sit down and appreciate one band because it's like a sensory overload.
Sure.
Whereas like a CD, I can get in my car and just drive around and do something and put it in and listen to the whole thing on repeat.
Yeah, it's
and actually like appreciate the songs, appreciate the musicianship.
It certainly helps people with me that have like ADD. It helps us try to just focus, because otherwise I could just go wild and just keep clicking.
Exactly.
All right. Well, here's a question that is kind of random, but I'm almost getting down to the end of it here. We have, by the way, we have Spencer Hazard, the guitarist for the band called Full of Hell. If you're just tuning in, they just put out a new record called Weeping Choir on Relapse Records. But when you guys aren't touring or playing or recording, what kind of stuff do you get into? Like, what do you fill your time with?
I mean, we all, like, especially the last, This is the longest break we've ever had as a band.
Yeah.
So it's been like a 9-month long break because we didn't want to like oversaturate the market with playing, especially until we had a new record out. So we've all just been like either working jobs or like Dylan prints t-shirts. Sam, our bass player, works at a bar. I do construction, and Dave works at a sunglass shop on the boardwalk. So we're all just busy doing normal job stuff.
Well, what are some of your hobbies, though?
I started making noise devices.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's basically like percussion devices. It's called Industrial Hazard, and it's basically I take elements from like an industrial site, basically, like stuff you can get from like an electronics store or hardware store, and turning it into like a handheld instrument or like a microphone.
All right, Slipknot needs to call this guy.
Yeah, please.
Get the Slipknot contract, you're set for life, dude.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Is there any way that we can look this stuff up, or is it, do you have a website for it or anything?
I have an Instagram for it, and it's just Industrial Hazard at Instagram.
So what are some of your goals for 2019, man? I know the record is pretty huge, and it just came out. I'm sure you guys are going to be doing some touring. What are some of your goals?
Just touring as much as possible. And two, I have like another side project called iFlies, which is just a noise rock band.
Cool.
And it basically, it's my summer is completely filled because it's as soon as Full Hell's off tour, go on tour with iFlies. As soon as iFlies off tour, Full Hell's back on tour, vice versa until the fall, basically.
So the goal is just to stay alive and stay healthy, right?
Yeah, don't drive myself insane. Burn myself out.
Well, good luck, man. That's quite an order, but it's pretty awesome. We're going to be playing the hell out of the new Full of Hell album. But I got to ask you, this is one question we got to ask. Because we are a Seattle show, what is your favorite Seattle band of all time, man?
They're not technically Seattle, but they're Pacific Northwest, and I got to go to the Melvins.
Yeah. All right. I got it, man. That's definitely a heavy, awesome institution in the Northwest. And any final words for the Northwest audience before we let you go?
Hopefully we can come back sometime this year, or at least the beginning of 2020. I mean, it's one of our favorite places to play.
Hell yeah, man. Spencer, thank you very much, man, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Cool. Thanks, man.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.